In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. According to tradition, the righteous Simeon, who was the priest when Joseph and the Theotokos brought Christ to the temple 40 days after his birth, 40 days after the Feast of Christmas in our case, you know. By the time we get to this point, we've forgotten all about the fast that we performed in preparation to celebrate the Nativity of Christ. But when we get to the meeting of Christ in the temple, or the presentation of Christ in the temple, two names for the same feast day that we celebrated just 2 days ago. We did not have the Divine Liturgy in celebration for that feast this past Thursday morning. We just don't have the resources to do all of the feast days, but it was at that point that we were 40 days past the celebration of the Nativity of Christ, 40 days past Christmas. Because after all, it is 40 days after the birth of a child that the child is brought to the temple. Or as Christians, it's 40 days after the birth of a child that the mother brings the child to the church and she herself is churched and the baby is baptized. The parents of Jesus Christ brought him to the temple 40 days after his birth. And the one that met him there, Simeon and Anna, had both received messages from the Holy Spirit that they would not die until they saw the one who was to be born to take away our sins. In Simeon's case, the legend is that he was one of the translators of the Septuagint. The translation from the original Hebrew into the Greek, Old Testament, the prophets. In order to have been one of the translators of the Septuagint, he would have had to be a very old man indeed. The completion of the translation of the Septuagint occurred about 130 years before the birth of Christ. There is such age. In Genesis and other places in the Old Testament, we know of people today who live to almost that age, so it's not beyond conceiving that he was in fact that old. And that's the explanation for what he says after he has held the Christ. Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. The word that he had been given was that he would not die until he held the Christ. That's why we always say that. That's why we say that when we bring a baby up. Especially, I don't know which is the greater honor, to tell you the truth, to be taken through the altar or to be laid at the feet of the entrance into the altar as the Theotokos entered into the temple. That's what I always think of when I lay a female child down before the altar. I immediately think of the Theotokos. So that's why we say those words at Vespers and when there is a churching after a baptism. We come to the temple with the greatest gift that we can bring. The publican and the Pharisee brought different gifts. The Pharisee brought his pride and the rigor of his spiritual effort, fasting regularly, tithing, doing all of the things that were required of him. And he thanks God for not being as others are, not fulfilling those responsibilities. Anyone who is righteous out of pride will disdain the humble. The Blessed Theophylact says that pride of this kind, it disdains Christ. It has no faith in him. Such a person never bows down before Christ God, because God is not prideful. God is humble. And he came into the world in order to reveal his humility to us. And the way that we can be at one with him through our humility. And so the Pharisee has no part in Christ. And he departs from the temple with his gift along with him, his pride. He uses the temple and his worship of God to confirm his own superiority. But the publican can't even raise his eyes to heaven. There is a central truth here. And the central truth is that we are not self-enclosed as human beings. We are only good if we are open to God's goodness. And if we are self-enclosed and we believe that we have, by our actions, fulfilled what it means to be a righteous person, then we have cut ourselves off from God. It doesn't matter how righteously we act. God did not come into the world in order to bring a teaching about how to be good. He didn't come into the world to bring a philosophy or a religious practice that will make us good. There were already great philosophies that focused on that. The Greeks were famous for it. It's hard to do better than Aristotle when it comes to a description of good ethics and what it takes to be someone who acts in a noble and virtuous way. But it's an aristocratic ethics. It's an ethics built on the pride of our humanity, the pride of a human being. And Stoicism, which was a prevalent ethical and spiritual philosophy of the time of Christ and the apostles, it's hard to do better than Stoicism when it comes to denying ourselves on behalf of a higher ideal, being a good person. Christ came into the world in order to reveal to us that only God is good, and we can only be good truly ourselves by way of our openness to the goodness of God. Once we realize that there is no virtue, no goodness in us as the created persons that we are, but that all good and all life comes from God, and we look at the life that we live, then we are reduced to repentance and humility. And the publican has had that experience. Just like the publican that we thought about last week, Zacchaeus. The chief publican. The Blessed Theophylact says that the publicans are the ultimate tools of the enemy of God. But having lived that life and having seen Christ, Zacchaeus was able to recognize the shortness of his stature, climbed the tree and saw Christ. Compare with Christ the life that he was living. This week, this publican has lived the life of a publican and looked at himself, and even without seeing Christ, has recognized that he is not worthy to even be in the temple in the presence of God. We are not worthy to be in the temple in the presence of God. We are only there by repentance. And if we're not there by repentance, if we come in order to solidify and strengthen our pride and to think even better of ourselves, then our presence is a blasphemy before God. It's exactly the opposite of the Christian faith. Because the Christian faith has to do with the essential humility that is appropriate to any human being, every human being. Pride is not an option. And how do we go from one to the other? That is the essential thing, the one thing that is needful for our life as Christians, and that is the change of heart, the metanoia, that changes us from Pharisee to publican. Someone who had pride in being good and decent and noble and following all the commandments, to a recognition that we are not following the commandments because we are doing the things that we do from ourselves and have cut ourselves off from God. And when we see that clearly, we have a broken heart before God. And we repent as the publican repents. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner who misses the mark daily, day in, day out, in every way, in every encounter that I have with others, judging them, evaluating them, taxing them. We don't all tax the way a publican taxes, but we tax others in our own way, judging them, expecting respect from them, or judging them and using them to build ourselves up by taxing them with our mistaken sense of our own superiority and grandness. Because if we disdain the humble, we disdain God. We disdain Christ. And there is no hope for our being able to be true Christians. There has to be this change from this self-righteousness, a righteousness of myself, to a despairing of righteousness that comes from myself, my goodness, my decency, my pride. A despairing of that, and a recognition of our absolute dependency upon God. For His goodness, His virtue, His life. There is no life in us. There is no virtue in us. Each one of us is the first of sinners because we live lives that are not from God. We live lives claiming that we have a superiority that isn't ours. Even Christianity can be our food to feed our vanity. Only humility, only this brokenheartedness before God, and recognition that we are not completely open, or maybe not open at all, to God's divine life, goodness, love, and perfection. That's why Christ came into the world, to show us that that is what it means to be a human being, to show us that that is our relationship to Him. It's not a legal relationship where we have broken a rule or a law and He comes to pay the price on the cross and suffer because we have broken a rule. He comes into the world to open the human heart to God. And He becomes the path to return to God. Actively returning to God by our repentance. Opening ourselves up to Him so that He can fill whatever particular human being we happen to be with His life and His virtue and His goodness. It's not a matter of Greek philosophers or Aristotle or rules or denying yourself in a way that can actually build your sense of yourself up. Denying myself, it is my will to deny myself. And then we have pride in keeping the fasts or doing the other things, works of goodness. The only work that makes any difference is the work of repentance, the work of opening our heart to God. And repudiating our self-love and our dependency upon ourselves. The one who went away from the temple, who was justified, was the one who affirmed the true relationship of human beings to God. And that's not the prideful and virtuous Pharisee. It's the one who has no virtue of his own, but knows that he has no virtue of his own. He goes down justified because he has received the revelation of Christ. So it is in each of our own lives, the struggle between pride and humility. Humility before God. How can we not be humble before the one who created the heavens and the earth? the one who created every human being who has ever lived. In every human heart, there has been this struggle. In every human heart, between pride and humility before the Creator, it is our own struggle as well. And so we call ourselves to consider ourselves. Are we Pharisees? All of us are Pharisees in need of the change, the metanoia, the repentance, the change of heart, the change of mind, the reorientation from ourselves to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.